All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, I just thank you for each one that's come here tonight to worship. And Lord, I thank you for each one that's come to hear. Lord, that we might receive from you what you have for us. I pray, Father, that you would speak into each heart and life. I ask for your help, Lord, that I would say exactly what you'd have me to and only that. And Father, may we have ears to hear in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight, I'm just going to talk to you about one thing. It's going to be a short message, right? You know, only a few people can do more than one thing at a time and do it well. And I know some of you women are thinking, you have no idea. But at least for us men, most of us can only do one thing at a time and do it really well. And, you know, most of us never really become great at more than one thing. You know, you can be a jack of all trades, but usually if you're a jack of all trades, you know, my wife says I know how to do everything, but that's just her way of motivating me. I'm on to her. But you can be a jack of all trades and be good at none, or sometimes maybe good at one, but seldom are you good at a bunch of different things. And here's the point, is that sometimes we just need to focus. And tonight, I'm going to talk about some very simple things. And if the Lord just speaks one thing to your heart, I mean, if you walk out of here with just one truth that you know that God is dealing with you or speaking to you about, that can change your life, the course, the destiny of your life. It can have an impact on so many others and have an impact on eternity. One thing. Going to talk about some one things. Sometimes we just make things too complicated, and so tonight, we're going to talk about some simple things. One thing I know. We're going to go to John chapter 9. We're going to read 1 through 7. John chapter 9, 1 through 7. One thing I know. I know that he's changed my life. John chapter 9, verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was born blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. What an amazing miracle. A man who had never seen, born blind, and now he sees. The Pharisees heard about it, and they didn't like it. We're just going to kind of jump down for time's sake to verse 24 and 25. It says, so they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was bound, but now I'm free. I was sick, but now I'm healed. I was depressed, but now I got joy. I was overcome with worry, but now I have peace. I'm just telling you, you need to know. You need to know that God has changed your life. This one thing you got to know. God has absolutely changed my life. Nobody can take that away from you. Listen, they can argue about it. See, So often, the culture we live in, our society, well, and a lot of times Christians too, they want to affix blame, like the disciples. The disciples were like, who sinned, this man or his parents? And they want to argue about it and talk about and figure out, well, why is it this way? Or what happened to this person? You know, why? Let me tell you something. What the important thing is that God stepped in and did a miracle. That's the important thing. Jesus said this happened that the work of God might be manifest in him. But you know, the religious crowd always wants to argue about doctrine. You want to argue about whether or not somebody can be healed. When you've been healed, it doesn't matter what they say. Listen, when you've been set free, it doesn't matter what their arguments are. One thing I know. Some people want to argue about the Holy Spirit. Well, you just go ahead and argue, but I'm going to tell you, I've received the Holy Spirit, and nothing or nobody and no argument can take that away from me. You need to know what God has done in your life. So you can say, one thing I know, I used to be this way, but I'm not that way anymore. God has changed my life. Do you know something? You know, sometimes we just need to keep it simple. You know, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, he said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And how complicated we make things sometimes. But if you don't know anything else, you remember, you know this one thing, that he's changed my life. One thing I know. One thing I must have is a total commitment. We're going to read Mark 10, 17 through 21. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. That's pretty good, isn't it? And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. I'm telling you the one thing as a true follower of Jesus that we absolutely have to have is a total commitment. You got to give your whole life to Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, here's a guy that had done a whole lot of things right. And we might, as a Christian, think, well, you know what? I'm doing pretty good. I've done this, and I've done that, and I don't do that, and I don't do that. And, you know, I don't drink, and I don't cheat on my wife, and I don't steal, and I'm honest. But there's one thing that you absolutely have to have. And that is a total commitment. You can't serve two masters. If there is anything that you're not willing to lay at the feet of Jesus, that's your true master. I said it was going to be a simple message. I didn't say it was going to be easy. But I'm convinced this is something that we really have to have. Because as long as there's something that you hang on to, something that you put before the Lord, sooner or later, it's going to end up being the Lord in your life. You got to be willing to lay it all at his feet. See, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. You're still calling the shots. Well, actually, whatever you won't lay at his feet is calling the shots. But you know, allowing Jesus to truly be Lord is about trust. And I'm telling you, he's trustworthy. And if Jesus wants you to give something up, if Jesus wants you to, in your heart, turn something over to him, it's never a bad deal. Oh, you seek first his kingdom and he adds all these other things to us. But we just got to be willing to trust him with our all, a total commitment. You know, it's interesting to me how Jesus lays this out sometimes in the Gospels in such strong terminology that is offensive to most Christians. As he says, if you're going to be my disciple, he says, you're going to have to hate your father, mother, wife, children, your own life. And of course, he's not giving us permission to hate anybody. He's talking about a comparison with our love for him. But that's the devotion that it takes. That it takes that total commitment to him. One thing you absolutely have to have. You know, there's a lot of things people think they need. I need this and I need that. Let me tell you what you have to have. A total commitment to Jesus. Without that, well, we're really just playing church. One thing I must do. By the way, I'm just giving you the one things of the Bible, all right? You can come up with a whole bunch of more one things, but I'm just giving you the ones that it actually says in the Bible, one thing. So here's the one thing that we have to do. Leave the past behind and reach forward to the things that are ahead. The plan and the purpose of God. Listen, Philippians 3, 12 through 14, not that I've already attained or already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. First of all, I want to ask you, are you pressing on or have you stalled out? Y'all real quiet. Have you sat down on the side of the road somewhere in your Christian race, or are you still pushing forward? And he said that I could might take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. And here's the point, is that you see, God has a purpose for every one of us. There's a reason he took hold of us. Not just to get us to heaven. No, there's a reason that he's taken hold of us. And we've got to press on to lay hold of that. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting one thing I do. Here it is. One thing I do. One thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says, I hadn't arrived yet. I haven't apprehended yet. I'm not there yet. And I'm telling you, if the Apostle Paul at this stage of his life could still be growing, shouldn't all of us still be growing? Shouldn't all of us still be believing God for greater things in the days ahead? After all the victories, all the great things that had happened in his life, in his ministry, he had seen the sick healed, he'd seen the bound set free, he'd even seen the dead raised, and he says, I'm reaching forward. There's more. God's not done. Pressing on to fulfill God's purpose in his life until one day he finally is able to say, I finished my course. Now, when you finish your course, that's when you say, Lord, I'm done. I'm ready to go. But until then, you keep pressing on. You keep leaving behind, forgetting, he says, those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are before. And you know what? The Christian life is always that way. It's always about reaching forward. It's always about moving on with God to what God has for us. Sometimes believers kind of get lost in their yesterdays, you know, the good old days. The Bible says it's unwise to talk that way, to say the good old days. It's amazing how we remember things fondly sometimes. We only remember the good parts. We don't remember sometimes the hardships. until we hear a teenager talking about their hardships, and then we're going to tell them how it is about all we went through. But you see, it doesn't matter if you're talking about the hardships or you're talking about the good times and the victories. Forget about it. Oh, no, we should never forget. Well, let me just clarify. Of course, we don't actually lose recollection of the past. Of course, hopefully, we learned from those experiences, and hopefully, we, you know, those victories are building our faith, and we celebrate those things. But the problem is that too often, people get so focused on the past that it keeps them from being able to go after what God wants to do now. I don't believe that we should be tossed with every wind of doctrine that comes along. And I want to say that before I say this. But we need to be ready for what God wants to do. We need to be expecting and believing. And, you know, the fastest way to miss what God wants to do is to be hanging on to remember back when. I'm just telling you, Paul said, all those great experiences, all that, he says, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are before. I have a hard time driving sometimes in Dallas-Fort Worth. And one of the things that really bugs me is people that are constantly looking in their rearview mirror while they're driving. They're not even watching where they're going. They're watching the people behind them. Did you know a lot of people live their life that way? They're watching what's behind. Look, focused on yesterday. Sometimes they're focused on the hurts, the disappointments. They say, you know, I don't want to get involved in ministry. I don't want to get involved in church because, you know, I got hurt. And I'm telling you, the things that have happened in their past are limiting their future and what God wants to do. Isn't it amazing that the God we serve, there is no limits. All things are possible with God. But to reach for the future, the plan and purpose of God, I'm telling you, you got to be willing to let go of the past and move on. Listen, Isaiah 43, 18 and 19 says, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not perceive it or know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I'm telling you, we got to always be looking forward to what God wants to do. You can't go back. Sometimes we would like to. I wish I could go to my grandmother and granddaddy's. Don't you, Carmen? Just one last time. I wish we could go to their house in East Texas where it's so quiet and peaceful. I wish I could sit down at my grandmother's table one more time. Although yours is wonderful, darling. But I'm just telling you, I can't go back. You can't ever go back. You know what you can do? You can go forward to some things that are going to be great memories too. But you got to keep moving forward with the Lord. You got to keep your eyes on Him and what He wants to do in your life. And so often, you know, the Lord says things like, I'm going to do a new thing. And with Him, looking forward, all things are possible. One thing that you absolutely have to do, Paul says, let go of the things which are behind and reach forward for the things that are before. One thing that you need every day. Well, food and water? No, that's not it. To sit at His feet and hear his word. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving and approached him, saying, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." She chose the good part. He says, one thing is needed. And what was she doing? Sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word. The one thing that you need every day is to sit at his feet and hear his word. And in all of the busyness of our lives, in all of the things that we think are so important, all of our responsibilities, in fact, most of us end up being about like Martha, like running around. I'm sorry, it's just coming to me like an old country boy. So here it is, like a chicken with your head cut off, you know, just frantic, trying to run in here, running there, trying to get this done. Lord, you know I got responsibilities. No matter what that preacher says, well, I live in a real world. I got to take care of things. But I'm telling you that Jesus says there's one thing that you really need in your life, and that is sit at his feet and hear his word. You know, it's amazing how one word from God can put you over. One word from God can set you free. One word from God can heal you. One word from God, listen, can... You're worried about money and finances and making the right deal, but a word from God can fix all of it. And we taught Sunday out of John 15 about, and Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And yet we try. Well, the one thing that we need every day is to sit at his feet and hear his word. It needs to be our priority. Last, we made it. If you just get, if you just take one of these with you, I'm happy. All right? If you just really get a hold of one of these, here's the last one. One thing I desire. The one thing I desire is to be in the presence of the Lord. David said it this way in Psalm 27, 4, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." David wasn't talking about moving into the church. That's not what he's talking about. No, he's talking about the presence of God, that he wants to get in the presence of God more than anything else. Here's a man who, at one point, you know, as king, he had everything that his heart could desire. I mean, David had accomplished so much, had so many great experiences. Now, I want to tell you, he had a lot of terrible things happen too. But of all of the wonderful things that had happened in his life, of all that was out there before him that he could have desired, he says, the one thing I desire is to be in the house of the Lord, to be in his presence. One thing. He knew what it was like to be in the presence of God. In Psalm 16:11, he said, "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." See, he knew just to be with the Lord. And, you know, many of us, we've had some experience, you know, to one degree or level or another, we've tasted of the presence of God, the glory of the Lord like that. And I just got to say that how can we not desire that every day? How can we not want that every day? And whatever desires that you might have in your life, whatever things that you might think that, oh, if I just had this, if I just had that, I want to challenge you to put all that aside and just focus on this desire. Desire the presence of the Lord, to be with Him. You know, if we do that, it really changes the way this verse looks. It changes, we just see it in a whole different light. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and it'll give you the desires of your heart. What if the desire of your heart was to be with Him, to be in His presence, and just to be more intimate with Him, just to be closer to Him, just to be able to know that He's right there? You know, Moses understood this. The Lord told Moses, He said, my presence will go with you. And Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go. We're not going. And I'm just telling you, we need to have that kind of a passion for the presence of the Lord, that more than anything else in this world, we desire His presence. Because let me tell you something. I hear a lot of people talking about what heaven's going to be like, and most of it doesn't have anything based in Scripture. In fact, some of those things, I'm not even going to mention what they are because it offend people if I said that's not in the Bible. I'll do that another day. But let me tell you what we do absolutely know about heaven. What makes heaven heaven is that He's there. That's it. You know what makes hell hell? What makes the lake of fire eternal suffering is that He's not there. I'm telling you, what makes heaven heaven is the presence, the glory of God. There's no need for light in that place because He is the light. And I'm just telling you, if you desire the presence of God, there's coming a day we're going to be in His presence for eternity, serving Him, worshiping Him. That's what it's going to be. One thing. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just pray that You would just rule and reign in every heart and life, that You would rule and reign, Lord, in our desires. Oh, Father, I pray that we would truly put You first, foremost, above all else. Lord, not only in our intentions, our thoughts, but in the way that we live, in the choices that we make every day, You are worthy of that. You are our one thing, Lord. Be glorified in our lives. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, bless you. I appreciate you being here tonight. If you need special prayer, myself or other prayer partners would be glad to pray with you. You're dismissed.